progress daily.
In order to get the opportunity, you must show up.
By any means, whatever it takes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Andy Audate podcast, where we unlock secrets to success in business, entrepreneurship, and life with Andy Audate and myself as the co-host, Lori Audate. Well, how are you doing, Andy? How has this week been for you?
I'm amazing. Just traveling the world and adding value to other people's lives and their businesses. How about you?
I'm great. I know you had a lot of travel this week, and then I've just been focusing on content and things like that. So definitely a productive week. So I definitely have a specific topic for today's podcast, which we've been getting a lot of questions, inquiries, and things like that. And it's specifically lead generation. So for anybody that might be tuning in first time, or they might have heard it maybe in another term, how would you describe in one sentence what lead generation is?
Capturing the data, the contact details of your potential customer is lead generation. So when you capture their name, their email, their phone number, that's what lead generation is.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, would you say that this is, I mean, definitely it ties into sales, right? Because the where we're headed with this is like, you have the business idea. So someone has decided, I want to sell this program. It could be a course, or it could be a fitness coach. It could be a business consultant, right? And usually what I find from a lot of the coaching that we've done, a lot of the conferences that that you've done, the summits, is if someone's an expert in their field, they can monetize that. But usually what comes after that is, how do I get started? And then once they actually launch the business name and everything else, the website, it's like, where are the clients? Right?
Yeah.
So in your experience, usually, what do you think, you know, the hardest part about launching and getting those first sales? What do you think that's like from a mindset perspective?
I think the challenge right now is where people put their focus on the wrong thing. Yesterday, the mastermind that I was at, one of the speakers there, I spoke at this mastermind as well. And I spoke on webinar specifically, but another speaker presented about hosting a workshop, and more so like a 30-minute workshop, just to give an idea of their products and services as a strategy to generate leads, but also give value to people. And one of the things that he mentioned is this is the steps. This is the framework to follow when you're hosting these type of events or workshops, is that you A, set up your landing page, B, drive traffic, C, create leads, and then D, create the presentation, the actual PowerPoint presentation. Like, that's the success. The challenge is most people are focusing on A, set up the landing page, and then they focus the rest of the next couple of weeks, next couple of days on the PowerPoint presentation. And then they forget to drive traffic and generate leads. So they're like, hey, so in my case, how many throughout the years, I've done the PowerPoint the day before the event. I mean, you've seen that time and time again where I'm literally just doing the PowerPoint the day before. Sometimes if it's like an afternoon training, I'll do the PowerPoint the day of, like really right before I'm doing the PowerPoint then. So, but I've seen in some other entrepreneurs where they're like, all right, I got the landing page, and let me just focus on the PowerPoint for the next couple of days and not focus on marketing at all. Now they have this sweet PowerPoint, and then they don't have anybody come to the event or the webinar or the workshop for them to present to and sell. So I think some entrepreneurs got it asked backwards, where they're focusing on the wrong things instead of focusing on the right things that actually drive results and drive revenue. And it's not the pretty PowerPoint. It's not the having the best automations, is not having the best landing page, the best funnel, so on and so forth. It's taking the activity and getting as many people in front of you as much as possible. Whip up a basic landing page, get people to come in, sell it, and then create it. Another thing, we launched a new program literally, I think, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks and change, and 2 weeks and 2 days it's been. So what is that? That is 16 days. So 16 days ago, we launched a new program called Go SaaS Launch Syndicate. And in the syndicate means just common group. It's just common. It's a group of people who are common individuals with the same intention or same goal. That's what a syndicate is. And We launched that. I had a conversation with my team Friday morning, and I said, hey guys, we want a lower ticket program that is on subscription that we can give value to people. And it's a subscription product, so that way we can continue to deliver value month over month. And right. My team's like, hey, let's do it. And I'm like, they're like, when do you want to launch this? Or when do you want to set up the landing page? I said, guys, I want it done by this afternoon.
They should already know that too.
That's how I do everything, right? So yeah. 10 o'clock in the morning, I have no idea what the offer is going to be. So I know my vision is to bring people together and create a new offer on a lower ticket product. I don't know how low, right? Our current product is $6,000 and I want a lower version. So it's anywhere between essentially $1 to $6,000. And of course, I want to be probably at the 1,000+ mark. So 10 o'clock in the morning, I have no idea. I have no idea where we're going to be selling. Between 10 o'clock to 12 p.m., so in a two-hour time span, I'm thinking and I'm pondering, and I have no idea. By 1 p.m., I asked my team, I said, guys, I need some support. I need some help to discover what we're going to sell and what value we're going to be giving. Ironically, right. At about 1:30, someone who's in our higher ticket program messaged me and said, hey, Andy, I have an idea I want to share with you about creating a lower ticket or a starter version of the program that I'm currently in. So this gentleman is part of the $6,000 group, and he reached out to me and says, Andy, I have some ideas I want to share with you about like a starter program for people who are just starting out in their software sales journey. And I said, okay, let's hop on a call. So 1:30 to 2:30, I'm on a call with this gentleman, and he's giving me different ideas. He's like, create a program for like $30. And I'm like, $30, man, I'm thinking $1,000 a month. What are you talking about? $30. And then he's like, just, you know, I think it would be tremendously valuable if you can just give something. My developer gets on that call, and my developer's like, Andy, I think we should be at around like the $99, you know, $100 mark. And I'm like, that's crazy. But the idea was, you know what? What if we helped 1,000 people, Andy? What if you helped 1,000 people get started because it was some out of price point they can afford? And that was more in alignment with my vision, helping more people. So I said, all right, I'll do this. I'll do this for the next 21 days. So we launched 16 days ago. It's only been 16 days. And essentially by 5 p.m. that afternoon, we had our website launch, landing page launch, email sequence launch, and thank you page launch. And I launched this. I recorded a video sales letter, created a PowerPoint. So I go ahead and create a PowerPoint. My team is building the landing page, so on and so forth. So from 10 a.m. in the morning, I'm struggling. By 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's already done and built. And we launched a program at $49 a month. We are currently at just under 200 subscribers at $49 a month in 16 days. We're aiming for 1,000 people. We're aiming for 500 within the next 60 days to be at 500, and then 1,000 people by the end of this year. So right now we're way past track. We're completely on track. But the whole point is, this is a program and a product that I haven't launched yet. That the launch date is a month from now, today.
But you already sold it, so the sale happened that same day. But the start, the fulfillments can start later.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's where entrepreneurs are struggling at. Is like, they're like, I got to make sure it looks good. I got to make sure that the product is set up, the product is created, the service is created. I have about 200 subscribers on a product that launches 1 month from today. And what I communicated with the subscribers in the video that I recorded, like, the price is going to go up, which it is. I'm already in discussion with my team about making the price go up. So the price is going to go up. And what I communicated to the subscribers is, if you purchase now, it proves the idea that people want it. Number two, it shows me that people are willing to invest into it. Number three, I'm going to invest into building this out. And so we've hired some additional staff, and we're building out this program, which is essentially like a large course. It's like, I don't know, probably 10 to 16 different modules of different content that we are creating.
Right, right. So what I'm hearing you say is, there's a misconception from what entrepreneurs focus on, or a small business owner, right? Because we've been traditionally taught, whether school or, I don't know, maybe even YouTube videos out there, right? There's, you get the idea, then you get your websites and business name and whatever, you know, get all that admin stuff done. And then people are like, oh, let me perfect my offer, or let me perfect my brand. Like certain things that they focus on, and they think if I have the best logo, the best website, then the sales will come. But what I'm hearing you say is like, that's backwards. You shouldn't even be focusing on such, you know, cosmetic items, or, you know, items that are just visual. When have you even thought about sales? Like, how are you going to pay your bills as a business owner and entrepreneur? Because essentially you're taking that risk, whether you told your partner, your parents, your siblings, like, I'm an entrepreneur. To me, that comes with a responsibility that you can be an entrepreneur, you can be a business owner, but where's the money going to come? You know? Yeah. And I think there is a responsibility to be honest with yourself. Like, what is my plan to generate the sales to not impact the people around me? And I think that's where you're 100% head on. And what I'm hearing you say is like, you should really be thinking about how this business is going to generate money and where the sales are going to come from. Now, to follow up on that, this is something I've learned by being around you, because I've seen you at events. I've seen you create that program. I've seen you sell 50 units within 48 hours. But I would definitely say I speak for the analyzers, type A type of personality. Like, I'm a perfectionist by nature. And I feel uncomfortable in situations where I launch something and I don't feel ready. I feel that. I physically feel that. Now, my journey has been, I get coaching for that, and I get around people, you're one of them, that push me to snap me out of that blockage, that mental blockage. But for you, would you say it's natural to take risk, to just like launch it? Or do you think this was a skill that you learned to say, I have no idea what this program is going to look like, but I'm selling it?
I think it all depends on the mindset. Like, I'll give you a scenario on the product that I just launched, the syndicate product that I just launched, right? The price is going up, right? The price is going up. Like, I'm literally going to my team and I'm like, this is nuts. I'm giving coaching. I'm giving
templates. It is very crazy.
I'm giving templates. I'm giving archive videos. I'm giving templates of PowerPoint, sales presentations, white label sales presentation that they can have me record, or my recording of me selling their products. So I'm giving them all of this for $50 for less than dinner. I've spent more money on dinner. However, here's the concept.
You spend more money on your gym membership.
Yeah, I have three gym memberships. One gym membership,
and
like
you're the three
bucks.
Digits. Yeah, three digits.
Yeah, it's like $300 for one gym membership. I got $130 for another gym membership just so I could do cold plunge. I got another. So I spent more money on gym memberships, right? I spent more money on shirts, if you know what happened, right? When I bought like 30 or 60 of these shirts. And but the whole point is, think about this concept. I have an idea. I don't know if it's going to work. I have an idea. I'm like, let's try this idea and let's try it in a short period of time. Let's launch it and let's see what happens in the next 48 hours. Let's send an email to a small group of people. Let's see what happens in the next 48 hours. And that's what we did. We launched it and we sent the email. And then we got a bunch of sales from it, right? And I was like, okay, I don't know if it's proven yet. Before we even start the build out, let's get more sales. And I think when we passed 100, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, guys, 100 people bought. That means 1,000 people are going to buy over time. So let's get started in building this out. But if you think about it, like today, if I come to you and I say, hey, 16 days ago, I had zero subscribers on this product. And then 16 days later, we are at 200 subscribers. That means 200 times 50. That means I generated $10,000 to go ahead and build this product and go ahead and use that money to invest on the build out of this product. That $10,000 come to my pocket? I mean, no, I use that to invest into this product, right? And I think that's where some folks may have that challenge and understanding. Like, really, it's a strategic process. I remember somebody commented, there's like a Facebook group that I'm a part of, and someone asked about my $50 a month program. And then someone else who purchased the program, this gentleman is one of the purchasers. He's like, mm-hmm. you essentially paid $50 to get on a wait list because you got to wait a whole month for Andy to launch this program. But I paid, you know, like I paid. And then the person who commented originally was like, fuck it, I'll pay too. And then, so like they're going back and forth.
Right.
They're going back and forth and so on and so forth. But I got criticized for launching this way, right? I've been criticized for pre-launching something that's not even here.
Like pre-sales. Like
I pre-sold a month in advance. So on the thank you page of this product, it literally says, you will be billed twice before you receive anything. Let us know if you want a refund. Like literally, just let send us an email. You will be billed twice before you receive any product or any content. Let us know if you want a refund. And then someone, there was one out of the 200s reach out and said, hey, we would like a refund because I realized that there's no content. And then we let them know like, hey, that's fine. We can give it a refund. Just to let you know the price will go up. Just confirm if you want a refund. And they're like, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
And because the price will go up, they're literally going to go to the refresh page and then the price will change and it's going to go up.
Right.
But the whole point that I'm sharing with you is as an entrepreneur, I could have spent the build out of this. This is a pretty large program. The build out of this from
it is
the
it's email a course sequences, fulfillment.
Course it's courses. I think it's like 10 or 16 courses. A tremendous amount of videos, scripts, templates, and so I'm grateful that we have the majority of it that was built out for Andy, and I'm templatizing. So our team is in the background templatizing. But the whole point is not to gawk over how I made money on a product that doesn't exist. That's not the point that I'm sharing with you. The point that I'm sharing with you is, as an entrepreneur to create success today, you may have to pre-sell. You should pre-sell a product to give value to people and propose value, but you are also validating your idea. So in that scenario, Andy validated an idea. If nobody bought, great. My only investment was a recording and a landing page build out that took my team an hour. That's my only investment versus hiring additional staff, building out courses. And that's what I see so many entrepreneurs do is that they'll hire the VAs. They'll go ahead and start recording and go ahead and start this and start that because they believe that people are going to buy. Then when they have this amazing product, amazing landing page, amazing logo, amazing website, amazing LLC, and so on and so forth. And then they go ahead to market and people are like, I don't want that. And no one buys. And then the entrepreneur gets distraught and then they never create a new product because it was so taxing to create the first one.
Yeah. Oh man, that hurts. Cause I've been on projects like that, not for ourselves, but just, you know, someone that really was adamant about building. And then they launch and it's like, oh, it takes 8 months, but they could have changed things on the program. So I agree. I mean, one of the things that has helped me overcome that for anybody out there that's like analyzer, perfectionist, because those are valuable skills in business too. But in order for me to shift into sales mindset and be ever growing in that is I always let myself know like, hey, all I'm working on is on beta stage. I call everything beta. Because what that does is it gives me permission that beta historically in a business launch is you're launching it, but it's always going to be evolving because your beta is your test. So like you said, you're going to go launch, you're going to pre-sell it. The number could have been $49 or it could have been $4,900, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to learn from that launch and then you take that data and you make it better. I'm doing a part of a course right now that we have people in. And I talked about your early buyers. They're your best supporters so that you can create the changes to problem solve. Because you're seeing it from the business owner perspective and entrepreneurship perspective. But the people that are going to give you the real feedback if your program is worth more, less, valuable, are the actual people that go through it. So one of the things that just has helped me, if somebody wants to write this down, is like, just think of it as beta, that coaching program that you have, that fitness program, that course that you've been thinking about creating. I say do it, but then give yourself permission to say, this is my beta product. I'm going to test the market and then give yourself a timeline. Like you said, I mean, you could be like, Andy, have the idea by 10 a.m., sell it by 1 p.m. That could be one strategy, or you could just give yourself a hard launch and commit like this is when it's going to go live. I don't care if I'm ready or not, you know. But going back to that, so let's say now the mental blockage is done. We've identified, I just need to launch and go. When it comes to lead generation, how much do you think a business owner or entrepreneur, a coach, consultant, how much should they set aside to spend on lead generation? Like, what would you say? Is it a percentage formula? Is it a flat amount? What would your opinion be on that?
I think you should start off organic, and then pay for advertisements afterwards. So I'll give you an example. I have so many different Facebook posts, just trying to see which one bites. So I have long posts that I've written. I have short posts that I've written. And I've had just photos. I have photos of me and you, photos of you, so on and so forth. And
photos with our dog.
Photos with the dog. Car. I've had the car because I drive a luxurious car. So I have all of this, and I'm thinking, like, what is gonna thing that's gonna bite? Once I found out there was one post that recently bit pretty well. I mean, hundreds of comments, hundreds upon hundreds of likes. I think it's like 700 or 800 likes right now, a photo of me and you with how I retired you. And that post, because it did so well, I turned it into a Facebook ad. And today, like, that post is a Facebook ad, and it's performing well. Why? Because it was originally working well organically, let alone if I put money behind it, it's just going to even do better, right? So it's getting us sales where it's this long written out post, damn near a story and damn near a blog article about how my wife is retired, and people love it. And it's a picture of you and I, and we're smiling, we're holding an award, and so on and so forth. So I could have thought the picture of me and my dog was the post that's going to create the best bang, and I could have put money behind that. But then if it doesn't perform, then I'm wasting money. So I think number one, you should start off organic, see what creates value. Number two, so that's number one. So that's you're creating the content that gets people to bite, gets people to like and put their attention on this post. That's number one. Number two is you want to give something away for free. Okay, you want to identify stuff that you can give away for free that on or around that post, that there's something that coincides with that post that you can give away for free. So in that scenario of that specific post, I gave something away, which was a template that was valuable, that was valued at $750. So I gave away this template, and hundreds of people want access to this type of template, because on that post, I explained how I retired you because this specific template is so valuable to my end user that end users are willing to pay me $750 for it. And I went to this group. I said, hey, you know what? If you want this template, I'll give it to you for free. Here's the link. So that's the second thing, is that you give away something for free. Now, in order to get that thing for free, you need to ask for the name, email, and phone number for that person who's reading your post. You need to get that name, email, and phone number. So framework again is step number one is create organic content. Number two is in the post of that organic content, there's something that's tangible, that's tremendously valuable that you can give away for free. Number three, to get access to that free thing, it must be on a landing page that you own that will automatically deliver. That's why we use Progreta, but that will automatically deliver that digital product for free. And to get access to that digital product, you have to put in your name, email, phone number, therefore generating a lead. That one Facebook post generated me, I think, like 500 or 600 leads. That one Facebook post itself. So if we do the math, let's say if I was paying Facebook ads marketing, and I'm paying $8 a lead, and 8 times $600, that post to me was valued at $4,800. That was a $4,800 post, because if that post generated that many leads for me, that's equivalent to Facebook ads marketing, right?
Right.
And instead of me putting $4,800, I was able to keep it, and I did that post organically. Not only in that post specifically, the way that I even generated a profit off of it was after they downloaded the free thing, I brought them to a sales page to go ahead and buy a product that we were selling. And I think out of the 500 or 600 people that opted in, I think it was less than 60 ended up buying our product. But that less than 60 is on a reoccurring basis that will probably be with us for the next 2 years. So that product, that post was so valuable that, and that's how you generate leads organically.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is start by testing, right? You could start testing. You could post on Instagram, try a graphic versus a video, try a photo of you at your desk versus you traveling, right?
Yeah.
Facebook group is an example where you posted, or your Facebook profile, or you can go to in-person events, right? You're testing what got someone to like me enough and like my, you know, elevator pitch or whatever it is, or content, like me enough to give me their name, email, and phone number. Now, I think that that was a huge blessing, and this shows your expertise in marketing. Because the fact that you were able to get 500, 600 name, email, phone numbers from one post, I think there's ads out there that may not even generate that. Like, I've seen ads generate maybe 100 and people are paying for that, you know, and that's a whole strategist behind it. So do you think, though, doing organic is a long-term play? Like, is this something that would take a business owner 6 months, 8 months, 14 months? Or is it like, if you really work on this every day, wake up, how do I generate leads? How do I generate leads? Make 3 posts. This is something that they would actually start seeing their list to get to 1,000 names and emails within 30 days. Like, is that actually possible for someone brand new?
Yeah, it's 100% possible. But I think you gotta be able to provide value. And I think that's where the problem is. It's like, they don't see themselves as being able to provide value or perspective. Right. I've done different posts that has gotten hate. I remember just like, 2 days ago, I woke up one morning and then you sent me a screenshot of someone who's like showing the opposite of love on underneath my post, right? Underneath my post. But it's your ability to take a stand on something and believe in it, regardless of whatever people's feelings are, right? And then it was ironic, the person the people that you screenshotted sent to me, they were like, I responded back with, dude, this is what I stand on. This is what I'm doing. This is, and this is what it is. And then I said, if you don't find value in the content that I write, keep it moving. And then he was like, no, don't get it twisted. I find value in it. It's valuable. And so I'm getting, so far, for the most part, I'm getting a lot of love on the content that I write and in the different content that I create. And many times it's like, I'm at the gym, I'm at the sauna, I'm in my car. There's times I've left the gym and I'll just be like, think of an idea and I'll just sit in my garage and I'll just write an article, right? I'll write an article, just dump it out of my brain. But because it's a thought that is provoking, and it's provoking thought. It's provoking, people are rethinking their life. They're rethinking their mindset. They're rethinking their dreams. They're questioning themselves. They're questioning their environment. Just last night, I wrote a post yesterday about who you spend time with. And if you're around big dreamers, then you're going to dream big. If you're around smaller dreamers and people who don't believe in themselves, then you're going to catch yourself doubting and not believing yourself either. And so my content typically is thought-provoking and against something. Like, it's against some people's core beliefs. Like, you know, I may write a post that expresses that, hey, man, when I was 21, I completely went against what my mom told me. I completely went against what my dad told me. If I listened to my parents, I would be a college student, probably still in college, living at home today. You know, and I'm damn near 30. You know, like, I would still be in that world, but I decided to go chase my dreams. And a lot of the content that I would write would be thought-provoking, and people would say, you know what, you're right. You're 100% right. Lately, my stance has been on get away from high-ticket services that require a lot of your time, right? If you're a coach and you sell a one-on-one coaching package, like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to say, hey, $10,000, and then I do 30 one-on-one calls with you. You don't want to do that. That's tiring.
The
That's
math sickening. On that is not great after taxes.
It's not. I mean, even before taxes, like it's not great. And there's a whole behind the screen. There's a whole Slack communication that's happening in one of my groups right now. And specifically in this person's case, they are a mom and they did a done for you service and I'm coaching them and they did a done for you service for their audience. And she sold a done for you service that was customized and the mom happens to be sick today, but her clients are calling her and saying, no, I need your attention because I paid you. And she's realizing the content that I communicated about get away from these done for you services, get away from these one-on-one coaching things and so on and so forth and focus on recurring revenue, that they're like, look, Andy, I get it. You're right. So you want to create content that is thought provoking. That's the point. If you want to generate leads, you want to create content that is thought provoking, that is inspiring people to think, and it's going to gravitate and catch on. People are going to gravitate and catch on to that. Then once you have that, now you want to give them a resource to start their journey. Most of them aren't going to be able to go ahead 100%, but you want to give them a resource to start their journey. And that's how you're going to start generating leads organically. And then once that's working, then you start paying. The problem that I'm finding is that most people don't have any value to give. So their hopes is, I don't have any value to give. I don't have a message to stand on. I don't have an idea to create. I don't have an idea to communicate that is thought-provoking. So I'm hoping that if I put $5 in, I'm going to get a sale. I'm hoping that if I put $10 on Facebook ads, I get a sale. Or even if I put $100 in, I get a sale. Because so-and-so said, if I put money in, I'm going to get a sale. But that's not really the case. The reality is, the way to get sales is to expand what's already working organically. Mm-hmm. You want to expand what's working with money. You don't want to start off with money, and that's where I see the problem is.
Yes, yes, I agree. I think a lot of times people are like, if I throw money at it, like the ads, then the success and the business growth will come. But really, what are you going to grow if you've never tested it or if you've never sold one? Like if you don't have that experience of having a whole customer go from a stranger to a buyer to fulfillment to retention, you know, things like that. So I do have a question. So I do remember this week we've seen a lot of comments on your social media, YouTube, Facebook, and all of that. And one of the reasons I actually wanted to start this podcast is I believe I know a version of you that goes deeper than what people see online, right? Online, they might be seeing like the business and this and that. But I do think there's a part of your story. It is in the book, but I don't think it's in the video world, like social media, podcasts. It will come out maybe throughout more of these podcasts. But I think there's a misconception that you're just throwing a coaching program out of thin air. Like if you just woke up like 29-year-old, I made up a program and I'm just sharing my thoughts and my ideas. Versus what I keep saying is like, if only they knew that you've literally had businesses since you were 11 and you've lived from like 11 to 29, what some people may take 50 years to live. So I always say like, you have been given the gift of wisdom, the wisdom that you don't need 49 years or 59 years or 69 years. You have been granted that gift of you already are clear what it takes to get a business to make $1 million and then 2 million and then 5 million and then 10 million. So one of the things I want to bring up into this is to tie it all together is what you're sharing on this podcast, YouTube, on stage, your masterminds and your coaching programs. It is not an idea. These are proven things you've done, right? Can you share a little bit about I want to the bumps that you had when you did move to LA, you did make door knocking sales and all of that. When was your turning point where you realized like I was doing business wrong and now you can teach other people? Like where were those kind of bumps for you along the way so people can actually hear like, no, I've been in your shoes. This is not an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, there's so many different stories. I've been through it all. I've been through eviction notices. I remember in 2016, I made a bunch of cash, and I made enough money that I didn't have to work for a solid 18 months. But then I also remember not paying attention to my money, and a year and a half later, I end up getting an eviction notice. And I thought I couldn't convince my landlord to let me slide on rent for like a couple months because I'm an aspiring speaker. And I went to him with my flyer for an event, and I said, "Hey, this is what I'm working on.
I'm gonna speak.
I'm gonna be doing well. So give me like a month, maybe two,
for free
to get the." Yeah, so let me live for free for the next couple of months because I'm on my way up, and I'll get you your $1,500. I think my portion of the rent was like $700 anyway.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll get you your money, and then they were like, I don't care. They said, I remember the gentleman. He said, I'll come upstairs. So he lived. The owner lived on the, essentially on the property, and he said, I'll come up to your unit. And I'll talk to you with my wife later on today at 7:00. I said, all right, no problem.
So they didn't say no. They just said they're going to go talk to you.
He just said he was going to talk to me. Then he came to talk to me. I was living with my roommate. And we both were down and out at that time. We both were financially down and out. And I was living with my roommate. And what created that in the first place was procrastination, actually. What created that? Because I had products to sell. I had the ability to go market, but every time that I would feel the need to go cold call or to go knock on doors, I would say, let me wait till tomorrow. And so I went, so it got to the point where the first came around and the rent was due. And then he essentially said, you have, I think it was like 3 or 4 days in California. And then we're going to do what we call a sheriff. So they came up to our unit. They talked to me and my roommate, and they said, hey, this is a journey. I think at the time I was like 20 years old, but he said, this is a journey. We're going to do a sheriff lockout. A sheriff lockout is that we'll take whatever is inside the property, we'll put it on the lawn, and you'll be able to get your stuff, and then we will change the locks, and the sheriff will be here to be a part of that journey. And
right.
Within literally the next 96 hours, you won't have a place to stay. And yeah. I was like, oh. So my potential is not enough. Like I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to be a speaker, you know, like that's not enough. And it's like, no, that's not enough. I don't care about that. And it was in that moment where I was like, all right, thank you for everything that you just shared with me. I'll go get it. All right. And I went and I created a product. And I think at that time, like I said, I'm going to host an event. So I said, I literally whipped up a flyer. I don't know, whatever I had in my bank account, $100, $200. Went to go get some flyers, got some tickets. And I remember there was this one scenario I had like the last like $30 and I put it all into my gas tank. And I said, I'm not even going to eat. Actually, believe it or not, like, I ended up eating, the food that I ate was my roommate's Oreos. And still to this day, I remember that. I was just
nibbling on his Oreos. Did you give him his Oreos after? Like after you made
I'm sure.
We should send him a box.
But I remember eating his Oreos and I was just nibbling. And after like a couple of days, he was like, dude, this is so much, man. And he put a lock on the cabinet. And I was like, I didn't even have the money. And I remember my phone bill was due. And I called my dad. I said, let me borrow $50. I got to pay my phone bill. And it was literally like I went down to hit rock bottom and I bounced back within days. Because what I did was I put on a suit the next day and I remember driving down to BMW and I said, hey, I want to speak to your audience and I want to give them an opportunity to buy tickets. And they said, F no, get out of here. And I said, okay, cool.
The dealership.
And I went across the street and I went to Kia, a car dealership. And then they were like, sure, we need that. We need that. And then I spoke and I sold some tickets, right? And some people, and I took credit card payments and it was like Square or whatever I was using at the time. And I took credit card payments and people gave me cash. And within 96 hours, I rounded up the cash, paid my landlord. And I said, I'm never going to be in that position again. So like that was my rock bottom story. right? That was my rock bottom story on my journey. So a lot of the principles that I share today comes from the pain that I experienced that I don't want other people to experience. I really did experience some pain. I was really in the mud, and I couldn't go home. First of all, I didn't have the money to fly to my mom's house if I wanted to that time. You know, that wasn't even an option. And I think I could have called my mom and said, hey, I need $200 for a flight. I'm coming back home and I'm leaving everything that I have in California because I don't have the money to move it. That was the conversation. That could have been a conversation. But even that wasn't really an option because going back home was actually probably worse from a financial standpoint. There was more financial gain opportunity in California than I was back on the East Coast. So I did what I had to do, and I said, I'm going to sell tickets, and I sold tickets. So that was another scenario of pre-selling. Like I said to a group of people, hey, we're having an event. I remember the date like it was yesterday. It was September 29th, 2017. I remember the date. And we changed hotels a couple of times, but it was at the LAX Marriott, September 29th, 2017. And I remember that date like it was yesterday. And I said, I'm never going to be back here in this moment again. Like, I'm never going to be in this financial state again. And I've never been back. And I thank God, and I never plan to go back in that financial deficit. But if you're in that moment, if you're in that experience, I feel you and I understand you. I know what that pain is like. And you're like, dude, and it's hard to financially put yourself to be in that place, in that predicament. But you got to get out of it. And the only way to get out of it is you can't think yourself out of it. You have to literally take action every single day.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what's powerful in that story you shared is a lot of people would probably crumble in that pressure and like give up on the dream, right? They might take that and say, oh, well, the eviction's coming. The sheriff is going to show up. I'll lose my belongings. Let me just go back to my comfort, which could be parents' house. It could be like going back to a W-2 job. It could be like whatever that comfort is. But instead of using that as your like, let me step back from my vision, you said, no, hold on. Let me go get the results. And then it sounds like that was the fire that got you to go sell. Like, don't get stuck on this. I'll do it later, blah, 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 you know? So with that being said, and I appreciate you sharing that, because I do think that people might be seeing your success now thinking that this is something like easy. Like, oh, well, it's because Andy's a millennial and he understands technology. Well, you didn't have a digital technology business in the beginning. You had that old school brick and mortar T-Mobile franchise. And the last podcast you were talking about, like you had literally cash and all of that, you know? I think the difference is all you've done is you've taken business concepts, strategies, tests, trials, tribulations, and then now you've shifted that and applied that knowledge to software, Progreta, Audate Media, marketing, right? Mm-hmm. From in-person events to online events. So would you definitely say if there are coaches out there, consultants, anybody that has a business, entrepreneur, you're able to help, would you say your best gift that you can give them is this knowledge that you have and resources? Or what would be the best value we can share to that audience that is entrepreneur, coaches, consultants, just trying to figure it out? They've been through a couple of stumbles, things like that. What would you say the one thing you want to give to them?
Yeah, it's going to be that these experiences that create results, especially in dire times. Like I wasn't someone who started a business with my dad gave me $1 million loan and said, hey, you know, here, I'm going to start a business. I wasn't that. That wasn't my journey. I was someone who had to get it up myself, up and running myself. And today we have a large team with so many different relationships and resources available to us. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of people know who Andy Audate, thousands of people know who Andy Audate is intimately from our marketing that we do. And, you know, a lot of people are reciting my content and they're coming up to me and it's shifting the way that they think. And I think that what is common between each and every single one is the education that I've learned through these challenges, by sharing this, it's giving people guidance in their moment. Like yesterday, I was with a gentleman at the mastermind. So today I'm in Las Vegas. Yesterday I was in California. And when I was in California, I was with a gentleman who is in his mid-40s. He has a son and he has a wife. And he's like, dude, I'm trying to get out of my, like, I run a marketing agency and it's the hardest thing ever. And I feel like my clients own me and I can't just get away just to spend some time with my wife and my kids. And I'm like, how many clients do you have? And the gentleman's like, I got 3 clients. I'm like, you got 3 clients and you stay really stressed. Why? Because each client pays them about $10,000 a month. And so they treat them like an employee, where he's like, call every day. Cause hey man, I paid you $2,500 this week. I'm gonna get my $2,500 worth in the next 7 days. And I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And it's 3 times 3. So he really got like 3 jobs, you know, cause 10, you know, 3 clients are paying him 10 grand a piece. So you're making 30 grand a month, which is cool, but you have no freedom whatsoever. And all he wants to do is run around with his kids. All he wants to do is spend some little bit of time with his kids. And I gave him a different strategy. And I said, I understand that pain. Why? Because although I didn't explain on this specific podcast, we've gone through that journey of having high ticket clients that are abusive of our time, right? And it's not their fault. It's like they put a big investment in and they deserve to have the ability to have someone there for the investment. But that's not the lifestyle that I personally want to live. So we've gone through that journey. And there's a different process. You could sell a product for $500 and get 60 people to pay you $500 for a product that's recurring, that's low ticket, that's low touch, and you could have 60 people paying you and you make the same money. So which one would you rather have? Would you rather have 3 people pay you $10,000 that are taking your time and on your butt and keep following up with you and treat you like an employee? Or would you rather have 60 customers paying you $500, which is both? Both of them are 30 grand. Both business models are $30,000 in revenue, but the 60 customers paying you $500, that $500 to those 60 customers is not as much. It's very low. It's automated through credit card subscriptions, and it just comes in every single month. Both business models are making 30 grand a month, but one is heavy, high touch, like you're always in communication with your customer, and then the other one is that it's low touch, low communication with your customer because you're selling software, you're selling something that just works. Like if you have a T-Mobile phone or you have an iPhone, you pay your phone carrier every single month, but how often do you call them? Are you calling the CEO of AT&T every single week saying, I need this to work, I need that? No, you pay your bill. Usually it's automated and you just don't even think about it. So you can have one or two options, right? And most people go the easier route, which is like, I'm going to do the high ticket stuff. But really, the ideal lifestyle is the low ticket, recurring revenue. So the reason that I coach and share is because I think I have a responsibility to that 4-year-old boy to be able to spend time with his dad. If I can show his dad a different way, show his dad a different opportunity, a different direction, that's going to give him a sense of direction. So that's why I do this type of content in the first place. And I think that's what people are going to get the most out of this type of content is the ideas, the strategies, and the stories that people are going to realize, wow, that's why he's like that. Number two, and it makes total sense.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think, too, one of the reasons why Progreta has been successful is because software, it's not just software. For us, it's not that, here's a tool, go do your business and thank you for joining our program. We literally find out, why are you in business? Number one, like what drove you to make a decision like that? Then number two, where in your life are those painful moments where instead of being with your parents, your wife, your husband, your kiddos, you're sitting behind a desk or you're going to an office, whatever it is, and you're just doing work. Work and being in purpose are two different things. So when we launched Progreta, and as we're seeing more people sign up for the Progreta software, what I've seen, especially even being in a lot of those onboarding calls and a lot of first signups, it wasn't that they needed a tool, just a tool. Okay, well, I need CRM software. Or I need emails or text. No, Progreta was solving the problems. So for the entrepreneur that's up at 10 p.m., putting email reminders and trying to text catch up on their admin work, Pregreta will take care of that, right? Yeah. instead of staying up, you know, late and all that, sending the emails or forgetting, I forgot to send an invoice and all that. That's where Pregreta steps in and automates the process so you can have 50 clients paying $1,000 or 500 paying 400, you know, whatever the numbers is. So I appreciate you sharing that because this is proven methods, but I think we're going to have to do a part two of why you got to automate your life to actually live life. But other than that, is there anything else you want to share with the audience today? I appreciate you sharing a lot start of insight and story.
If you're excited, if you are inspired by this, start taking action.
Definitely. Well, you heard it from Andy. This is your reminder to take action. We appreciate you all for joining us and we look forward to the next one. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.
Stay tuned.